Okay, Rabos, we're going to start the new topic, and it'll take a while. I hope you're not impatient, because for me, this is something that I want to research with you together over the course of time. And the whole story begins in Parshas Matos. And basically what we want to do today is learn Masechta Nedarim, not the entire Masechta, obviously. But Nedarim is going to serve as a major foundation or framework for what I consider to be, if not the most important structure in understanding the Shas. Certainly it's up there amongst the big ones. The Torah says the following: Ish ki yidar neder l'Hashem, o hishava shvua, lesar isar al nafsho, lo yachel dvaro kechol hayotzi mipiv yase. There are many dimensions to this pasuk that we can discuss. Most of them are a little bit premature for us. We'll just focus on the fact that the Torah speaks about neder and about shvua. And the Mishnah at the very beginning of Masechta Nedarim introduces a concept called kinui. So for example, I can use a word that doesn't come from Lashon Kodesh. Not only that, I can use a word in a neder that might even be a slang word, meaning it's a Lashon Shibush. Who can help me out here? What would you call it? A corruption. Oh, that's the word. It could be a corruption of a word. And that would create a valid neder or shvur. Now, what the sugya is very focused on at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim on Daf Beis Amid Beis is the Seder HaDvarim, the sequence in which the Mishnah presents this. And it goes like this. The Mishnah has Kinui Nedarim, then it goes on to Kinui Charamim, finally to Kinui Shvuos, and then to Kinui Nezirus. And what the Gemara is going to try to do is create a structure in which Nedarim becomes an Av, so to speak, and Charamim a Tolda. Shvuos becomes an Av, and Nezirus becomes a Tolda of Shvuos, which means that we have two super categories with regard to Haflos Peh. One is a Neder, and the other is a Shvuos. And the Gemara is going to point out here that it could have said in the Mishnah, Kinui Shvuos, right after Kinui Nedarim. In other words, if the Mishnah is talking about these main categories of Nedarim and Shvuos, a Neder and a Shvuah, it should have said, Kol Kinui Nedarim ki Nedarim, and Kol Kinui Shvuos ki Shvuos. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Velisni Kinui Shvuos Basar Nedarim. Why didn't the concept of Shvuah appear in the Mishnah immediately after Nedarim? And the Gemara here reveals a basic secret. Aidi de tana nedarim de mitzar chefta ale, tana nami charamim de mitzar chefta ale, lafuki shvua de kaasar nafshe min chefta. Let's just explain the Gemara on the most simple level, and then we'll see the Rishonim. On a simple level, the Gemara is saying that there's a fundamental difference between a neder and a shvua. And this is something that we learned when we were children. And here it is. And that is that a neder is mitzar chefta lei. We start with the chefta, and we ask the chefta. The object itself becomes the chefta di isura. And number two, in shvua, in contrast, is ka'asar nafshe min chefta. Notice that even in the case of Shvua, the Gemara mentions the Chefetz, but here the Chefetz doesn't become the starting point, but rather the ending point. So in the case of Nedarim, we begin with the Chefetz. In the case of Shvua, we begin not with the Chefetz. We begin with Nafshe, what we call the Gavra. So it's the Gavra that asks himself on the Chefetz. And therefore, the Mishnah is structured in a very deliberate way, beginning with Nedarim and then going to Charamim, because both In the Nedarim and Charamim, it's Ka'asar Cheftza Aleh. We begin with the Chefetz and we end with the Iser. That's result of the Chefetz. In the case of Shvua, and by that, and by virtue of the equation, in the case of Nazirus, we begin with the person, and the person prohibits himself in a certain action, and he may not eat this piece of meat because he told himself that he, in a shvua, that he won't eat. And if he won't eat, he won't eat this piece of meat. In the case of Nazirus, it becomes a little bit more complicated, because in the case of Nazirus, a Nazir is enjoined from drinking wine, he's enjoined from cutting his hair, from entering into a Beis HaKvaras, being mitami himself. And one could wonder, let's say in the case of wine, what is the nature of that Iser? Is the Iser on the Gavra, meaning you start with the fact that he's a Nazir, and then you end up with the fact that as a result of his being a Nazir, he's prohibited in certain activities, certain actions, like being mitami himself, or like cutting his hair, and he's also prohibited from eating? Or you could argue, at least in the case of Yayin, that maybe the Yayin itself is a Chefta di Sura that prohibits him to drink wine, because the ayin itself is a chefzid disur.
These are metaphysical concepts.
I don't know.
Legal concepts, right? Because legally it means nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Just one second. Just one second. Sam, I want to tell you this. That, again, you'll take me with a grain of salt, but the opposite of what you said is true. These are anything but metaphysical concepts. These are purely legal concepts. And as we go through the sugya, I think you're gonna finally say, Rabbi Berzon, Yeshekoyach, I'm on board with you. These are legal concepts. Now, do they have a metaphysical element to them? That's going to be a critical question. I in no way consider that a secondary question. But in terms of the progress that we have to make, it becomes secondary only sequentially. Not necessarily in terms of what it means to understand the difference between an Iser Gavra and an Iser Chefta, because one could argue, and I'm not sure if he's wrong, that these have a metaphysical ring to them. There's something that's inherently wrong about the Chefetz in the case of an Iser Chefta, but in the case of an Iser Gavra, there's nothing inherently wrong about the Chefetz. That's a metaphysical comment. But way before we get to metaphysics, we're going to try to prove that these are pure halachic concepts with tremendous nafkaminas. And we're going to come up with at least three nafkaminas between Nedarim and Shavuos that are all based on legalities, have nothing to do with metaphysics. But let's go through this very slowly. First, we begin with Rashi. Now, Rashi on Masechet Nedarim is a little bit questionable, so to speak. We're not sure exactly if we have the Rashi that Rashi wrote. Probably we don't. But in any event, whoever wrote it must have been a Talmud Chacham, because he says some good things. And it's good for Rosh Hashiva, whenever he finds something in Rashi that helps him, he uses the Rashi. Whenever he doesn't understand Rashi, he doesn't even mention Rashi. So Rashi says, the Mitzar Chefta, Dechi Omar Dovar Ze Olai Bekarbon O Becherem. Now wait a minute. Rashi has introduced, leave out the word Cherem, because the word Cherem we saw in the Mishnah, but Rashi has introduced a term that we didn't see in the Mishnah. Karbon. And this is absolutely fascinating, because one of the classical kinuye nedarim is going to be a konam, which the Gemara says is a corrupted word for carbon. So we see clearly that carbon plays a role within the constellation of Hilchos Nedarim. But I never would have said that the concept of carbon should be mentioned right up front. That's what Rashi is doing for us. And Rashi is saying that if you want to know what's the classical formulation of a neder, it is davar ze olai bekarbon. Now watch what's going on over here. He's not saying that this animal is a karbon. He's saying that this animal and its flesh are to me like a karbon. Rabosai, what is unique about a karbon? We're going to have to discuss this at great length. I'm just throwing it out there from the beginning. I don't want to get caught up with this, because you know it's going to derail us. But what is unique about a karbon? What is unique about Hegdesh, I meant to say? It's in the Cheftza. Everything about the carbon, in other words, if I was, this is what I think is motivating Rashi, if I was looking for a paradigm of Hefta, the answer is Kedusha. The answer is Hegdish. Because, and this again, Sam is going to touch on your question about metaphysics. If you're talking about something that's inherent in the Hefta, if a human being can create a change in the very fiber of an object, then the best place to look for that is in the laws of Hegdish or carbon. What motivates Rashi to mention carbon when we're talking about Nedarim? And we're not talking about Nidrei Hekdesh, we're talking about Nidrei Yisur, is because Rashi wants to tell you that by equating this kikar, this loaf of bread, with a carbon, what you're saying is, says Rashi, and that's the next few words, is ka'asa leila cheftza olav. In the same way that I magdish something, l'mizbeach, and I convert it into something that is that has kedusha to it, I can somehow, magically, through the power that the Torah invested in me in the Haflas, Pen, the Parashat Matas, I can convert an object into a Heftza di Sura. And again, I'm not getting into the whole question, which is the Mesilas Yesharim discussed it, the relation between Kedusha and Iser. But let's assume, for argument's sake, that Kedusha and Iser are fundamentally two different concepts. But what is common to both a Heftza di Sura and a Heftza Shel Hegdesh, says Rashi? They both begin with what? With the Heftza. And that's obvious. If we talk about a Heftza Shel Iser, we talk about a Heftza Shel Hegdesh, the Iser is inherent in the Chefetz. Again, you don't have to accept metaphysics here. But certainly in a halachic legal realm, everything about Hegdesh screams out at you that it's inherent in the Hegdesh. For example, in Mirza Hashem, we're going to cover tomorrow, please make a note of it, Tosis on Daf, Ayin Ches Amid Aleph in Masechta Yuma, which you don't have here on your pages, but I'm giving you a heads up for anyone who wants to look in advance, so you'll be oriented in tomorrow's Shia. We're going to have a long discussion about Sicha. Sicha meaning not a shmooze, but Sicha meaning anointing yourself in Shemen Shel Truma. Now, Shemen Shel Truma is a classical case of what? When you talk about prohibiting a non-Kohen from using Shemen Shel Truma, what are you talking about? Hegdesh! Again, I don't say that Truma has the same status as Kodshei Mizbeach, it's Kodshei Gvul, but it does have a status of Hegdesh. So right away, as soon as I talk about Sicha, I'm talking not so much about the Maisa Sicha, I'm talking about the fact that Sicha, if I'm not a Kohen, and I take this Shemen Shel Truma and I rub it on my body, is itself a violation of what? Of the Hegdesh of Truma. I'm in a sense desecrating a holy object. So please keep that in mind. Again, if you have Masechta Yuma, it's on Daf Ayin Ches.
You were equating.
Oh, and Alf, it's the big Tosis there of Sicha Kishtia.
Yeah. You were equating Hegdesh with Kodesh.
Yeah, I'm using those terms interchangeably. I mean, look, Herb, you may have a difference, you know, you may want to say that Tzvei Dinim is one din of Hegdesh and one din of Kodesh. But what I'm saying is that something that's Hegdesh has Kedusha to it. And as a result of the inherent Kedusha, many different Isurim will apply. I have to treat something that has Kedusha in a very specific way, and as soon as I veer away, I deviate from the way that the Torah allows me to use Hegdesh, I am basically being Mechalel Kedusha. I'm desecrating Kedusha. By the way, we once mentioned here in this room that it could be that Shabbos itself is an entity. Why? Because Reb Chaim Brisker took the concept of Heftza and he applied it even to abstract objects. We discussed at great length that Tfilas Arvis is a Heftza Shel Rishus, as opposed to the other Tfilos of Shacharis and Mincha, which is a Heftza Chova. Now, how can Reb Chaim have the audacity to use the word Heftza with regard to Tfila? And he says the entity of Tfila is that it's a Tfilas Rishus. And you cannot combine a Tfilas Chova with a Tfilas Rishus. So again, we're light years away from understanding how Reb Chaim had the, pardon the phrase, audacity to make this major leap of faith and take the word Heftza as opposed to Gavra from the original source in the Talmud Bavli, comparing and contrasting Shmua and Nedarim, and take it to refer to things that have no object to it. Because the Gemara is focused totally on a physical object. That's all the Gemara knows. You will never find, that's my claim, in anywhere in Shas, the word Chefza with regard to an abstract object. You'll only find it in the writings of Reb Chaim. And I'd love to know where, I have a suspicion, I may know, where Reb Chaim took that from.
Yes, I have a question. Is there anything to notice?
Does everybody know each other here? I mean, we don't have to make introductions. No. David, this is Alan. Daniel, you know, of course. John, you know.
Moments ago, Sam, I know.
Yeah, Sam, you know, Herb, and Yechiel, I call him. Everyone else seems to call him Elliot, but I don't know why I like the name Yechiel better than Elliot. Go ahead.
Is there anything that is connoted by the fact that the Gemara uses the Russian big korban instead of kick korban?
That's very important. What does it mean, big korban? L'chora, it should be kick korban.
Right.
Okay, and we're going to get to this in just a minute. What is one of the most central concepts in the Dvarim, Rabosai? It's almost like if I wake you up in the middle of the night and I say a neder, as a lamdan, you should automatically say to me, what? Hatfas. In fact, the Ran, at the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, is going to vacillate as to whether or not a neder, by definition, needs hatfas.
What does that mean?
Okay, what is hatfas? Hatfas means that I have two objects in front of me, and I'm matfis one and the other. Which means that I say that the status or the law, the halach that applies to object B, should now be transferred over to object A. So I have a kikar on my table. It has no halachic status whatsoever. It's chulin heter gomur. And I have in front of me a piece of lechem shel truma. Or, for example, I have lachme toda, which has the status of hegdesh or kodesh, as Herb says. And I say, Amatvis harezu kizu, that this should be the same. And there's a sheet of the Ramban, the Ran disagrees, that the only way you can create a neder is through Hatfasa. Aye, there are 50 million rayas and shas that you can generate a neder without Hatfasa. That's all midin yad linadarim. What's yad linadarim? Yad linadarim means that even if I didn't say exactly what I meant, I abbreviated my language, nevertheless we'll fill in the missing pieces of the puzzle. And there's a yad mochiach and yad shein mochiach and yesh yadayim linadarim and yadayim l'shvuas, and then we get into the whole issue of neder b'losh and shvuas, shvuas b'losh and neder, and the whole sugi of yadayim. But be that as it may, the very fact that in Rishonim there is such a shita that there ain't such an animal as a neder without a fossa means that I'm taking something from the status of one object and, what do they call it? What word am I looking for in English? Transmuting it? Is there such a word? Yeah, I'm transmuting that status from one object to the other. That's a fossa. That's pretty wild. And all this has to do with the nature of neder as an iser chefter. It has nothing to do with shvua. Shvua doesn't require atfasa. Okay, now we go on in Rashi. So
an example of a neder bli atfasa.
No, if I say kiker asur alai, the neder without atfasa, then according to one sheet that he's showing him, the Ran doesn't accept this, that it would only operate as a valid neder midin yat. It's as if I said ki karban. And we add the word carbon into the equation. And Rashi goes on and he says, now we understand why cherem is an attachment to neder. It's a subcategory of nedarim. Because cherem also is an iser in the chefetz. Ah, volki yomar shvua shlo ochal dover zeh. And again, Rashi went out of his way to add the words Dover Zeh, because that's tempting. Once he adds Dover Zeh, what does it sound like? A Cheftza. No, Rashi says, don't misunderstand it. Why? Rashi's saying, don't make the mistake. He's not answering the Cheftza on himself. All he said was Lo Ochal, or Eini Nene, Ela Nafshei Osor Me'ahi Cheftza. So again, Rashi's not denying that there is a cheftza. You know, the Gavra is not asking himself in luftarayim. You know, it's not in the air. You know, he's asking himself from a cheftza. And Rabosai, would you please fill in the following blank? Switch it around the other way. When I say that in a shvua he asks himself from a cheftza, What would you say in the flip side, Rav Osai? I'm sorry if I'm talking to you like children, but I want you to fill it in. You know, this is after two shiurim in which I play the role as a pedagogue, so I'm still in that mode. You know, say. So what's the flip side, Rav Osai? Again, if I say the following, a shvua creates an iser vis-a-vis a chefetz, right? Because what did he say? Rashi says he says shvua shelo ochal davar zeh. So I'm not allowed to eat that dover. So the cheft is also involved. Now flip it around the other way. Hello, anybody home?
You're talking about by a neder?
Yeah, by a neder.
The asur's in for me, the
gavra. The gavra. I mean, you can't look by both sides. You can't tell me that a chefta is asur without a gavra. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can't tell me that a piece of bread can't eat itself. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So in both a shvua and a neder, we have both a gavra and a chefta. That's what's going to be challenging for us. Meaning, the question is where we start and where we end. But at the end of the day, there's both a gavra and a chefta. So therefore, a neder asks the chefta onto the gavra, and now the gavra becomes nesar. In the case of an Iser Shvua, the Gavra becomes also Klapei Achefetz. He cannot eat this piece of meat. So the whole difference is, did you start with the meat or the bread and end with the person, or did you start with the person and say, don't eat this meat or don't eat this bread? And the question is, what's the Nafkimina? So one Nafkimina we said is Hatfasa, and we'll get back to that a little later. Let's look at the Ran. The Ran says, Aidi the Tani, Nidarm, the Mitzar Cheftali, Klomar, Sha'oser Hakikar Olaf. Okay, halachically, if you want to call it a neder, then it must be oser hakikar olav. So the subject is the kikar. And therefore he says, achilas kikar ze olai. Okay, now again, it's a little bit strange because the Ran now introduces in the formulation of the neder the word achila. So again, I told you before that it's all a matter of where he starts from. So if he says kikar zu asura alai, that's one thing. But here he's saying achilas kikar ze alai. Okay, so how is that different from a shvua? I mean, he's saying achilas kikar ze alai. He's asking achila. That should be a shvua. Lafuke. Right, he didn't say any ochel. In other words, he's saying that the kikar is usar alai. Even though he said, I won't eat the kikar, it's this kikar is what I won't eat. Lafuke shvua, the usar nafshi menachef tzuklom shomer, shvua shalo ochal kikar su. Yeah, you get the impression from the... Yeah, go ahead, Herb. I want to cut you off. I'm sorry.
I think we're putting too much emphasis on this. The kolomer. Kolomer is just a perish. It's not saying that he's actually saying this.
Ah, you don't think he's actually saying
this? No, kolomer means it's as if.
So what's the difference between the word kolomer and viomer? You know, that's my problem.
Viomer is going to kolomer. It's like when he says the mitzvah chayvitz alav. So what does that mean? Okay, if I would say to you, I'm being osir chayfetz, you know what it means.
So I would have said it means klomar she osir kikar ol. No, wouldn't he?
So that's what he's saying. It's
period. So the ranch of call a mosif goreha. You know, that's it. Then he says viomer achilas kikar ze ol. Viomer.
That's still on the klomar. It's like as if he was.
I don't know. In my mind, there's a klomar and there's an omer. I know you. We can fight this out after shiur if you like. But I left my dukes at home. That's the only one. All right. Let's take a look at Tosis. Tosis says nedarim de mitzar cheftal leiti omer kikar ze. Again, he starts with the kikar and he says again the omer kikar ze konam alai. Okay, he's introducing the element of kinui nedarim. Sha'osa kikar olav hegdesh, and this is about as explicit as we'll get. You know, before I was been building mountains in the sky because Rashi introduces karmon in Tosfos. It's about as black as white as you can get. Tosfos is telling you sha'osa kikar olav hegdesh. He's making this kikar into hegdesh. Now again, Rav Osai, it's not hegdesh. How do I know it's not hegdesh, Rav Osai? How many people on the face of the earth are osur in this kikar? Only one. So it's not hegdesh. I mean, there's no such thing as hegdesh for you that's not hegdesh for me. Hegdesh is in the chefta and it's objective. He's creating a subjective hegdesh. It's a mind-boggling concept. It undermines everything we know. You can't tell me it's in the Chefza and it's called Hegdesh and then turn around and say to him it's only Hegdesh for one person. You're shooting yourself in the foot. This is the Chiddush of Nedarim, says Tosfos. That in Nedarim I can take something and for me it's Hegdesh, subjective Hegdesh. It's the wildest concept I've ever saw in my life. And this is going to be the Yesoda Yesodos of half a shot. So I'm exaggerating. But, you know, I get you, man.
But does subjective Hegdesh mean that it has all the dinim of Hegdesh or not?
No. So no, it's only Hegdesh in the sense of, again, what was his language? Yeah, okay, he didn't mention, you're right, that's a good point. He didn't mention the word achila here. You see, in the Ran, he mentions the word achila explicitly. So what does he mean? Kikar ze olai sha'osa kikar all of Hegdesh. I mean, l'chora, it's not Hegdesh. Hegdesh is an overall, all-encompassing Issa. Here he's only asking himself on achila. Maybe he's asking himself on hanah. I don't know. That would be pretty fascinating.
Hegdesh is also achila.
Well, all Hegdesh is also achila for anyone who's not designated to eat the Hegdesh. Right. In other words,
here it's subjective.
You know, the bialik. So Yechiel's pointing out something interesting. That maybe even in Hilchus Hegdesh we have something called subjective Hegdesh, right? It's Hegdesh for you and not for me. But I would say not. I would say it's Hegdesh for everybody. The only question is, do you get a kium of achila? So if you get a kium of achila, that's the way Hegdesh is meant to be consumed, so to speak. You know, it's the nitan or the nasis mitzvos of Hegdesh. Yeah. Tania wanted to say something before.
It doesn't say Hegdesh, it's Hegdesh. I mean, the verb Hegdesh, separate from Kedusha, is to be separate. It's separate from
right.
Like have the Kedusha. There's an action about Kedusha, but
so maybe he's just separating himself. He's not. Maybe Tosfos is not equating it with a carbon. It says Konam Elisha Osa Kikar Alav Hegdesh. Not that it's Hegdesh, but it's Osir, and he has to separate himself because of that.
But it's more in it. So to
right. There's no Meila. There's no Isir Hanah. Maybe the only Isir is Achila. That's what I would suggest.
Tosfos could be saying it's maybe with Achila. The person makes a nether that he doesn't want to have
enough. Could be. Again, it's not clear from Tosfos. Is he asking himself an achila or even
an
enough?
He doesn't say it.
Doesn't spell it out. So I don't know what he understood. He understood it was a dover poshut that there's no Isra Anah. Well, the opposite. He understood it was a dover poshut that there is an Isra Anah. I don't know. But let's just go on. He quotes the pasuk here. This was fascinating to me. None of the other Rishonim go back to the Chumash, you know, to Tarshish B'Tzav. He makes a big deal about that. This is Elmer?
Yeah.
Wow, you made it, Elmer. Wow.
My grandson.
He's a tzaddik.
But it was
tzaddik Yisrael Elmer.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. Please sit down, Elmer. I mean, we had many emails back and forth how to get Elmer over here. You know?
Yeah.
All right.
Some exploration to find this place.
Oh, okay, listen, you know, Elmer, call us cautious.
Menachem Aryeh Ophir.
Ophir. Okay, I know the name Ophir. There was an Offenbacher who became an Ophir.
That's our son.
That's your son. Okay, so I think we went to high school together or B'nai Kiva together, something or other. Anyway, so listen carefully, Elmer. There's a pasuk in Chumash, and none of the Rishonim quote this pasuk, except for Tosfos. Do we have, that's not for today's shiur, do we have? There's an extra copy somewhere. Okay. Yeah, give one over to Elmer and to his grandson, Ophir. Okay. What's your first name? Okay, you see the Menachem Eliezer, maybe it's both. Okay, fine. So what do we have? He says that Legabi Charam Nami Osar Cheftal Nafshe De Goli Kra Asher Yachrim Ish Lashem Mikol Asher Lo. Alright, that requires a lot of study, but in any event, in the parasha of Charamim it says that he creates a cherem on one of his possessions. Mikol Asher Lo. Mashma da chefetz yeh cherem. Okay, again, in every case we're talking about an object. Gami Nidorim. We place cherem together with Nidorim because just like in the case of Nidorim, the Torah says you're not allowed to use this object or eat this object because you made it into a cheftzadi surah, so too by cherem. Afal gafrek toises akasha. Let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk in Matos begins with the words ish ki yidar neder. What does that sound like, Rabosai? Ish ki yidar is the emphasis here on the object or it's on the action? Ki yidar neder. He's taking a neder. Yeah, but he's taking a neder on what? Says Tosfos, mashma le deratzalomar agavra. In other words, what Tosfos is doing is he's saying that just like in the middle of this pasuk, it says, oh, he shava shvua, and the emphasis is on the oath, which is a prohibition on the person. When a person takes an oath, he's enjoining himself from a certain action. So to hear ki yidar neder, he's taking, call it a vow, if you will, but he's enjoining himself from an action. No. He says, mikomokom ksiv ki yidar neder. Tosfos has a drush over here. Mamish is mechadish a drusha. To the best of my knowledge, this drusha doesn't exist anywhere. And Tosfos says that it could have said ki yidar. Okay, I want you to sharpen your knives here against Tosfos because it's an obvious hole in this thesis of Tosfos. But let's just first present the thesis of Tosfos. Why did the Torah add one extra word? Which extra word?
Neder.
It says ki yidar neder. Ratzalomar. The mitvase binadur v'zachefus. This is the Ramban Shita that nobody knows but you and I, is also the Shita of Tosfos, that the Torah in presenting the parsha of Neder requires what? Hatfasa. And that's what he says, the matvis binadur. Now who can tell me what the word nadur means? What's the opposite of a dovra nadur? Which disqualifies and invalidates hatfasa. Everybody. A dovar asur. What's the difference between a dovar nadur and a dovar ha'asur? I'll give you a question. Nevela. What's nevela? I have a cheft of nevela in front of me. And I say, harei zeh kezeh. Let this meat be like this piece of nevela. No, is that a valid neder? No, because that's a dovar asur. But if I took a neder on a piece of meat, or this meat was hegdesh, which is chal through kedushas peh, basically anything is a dovra nodr if and when it was generated by a aflas peh. Okay, and then we get to the whole sugi bechar. You remember there's a whole sugi whether you can be machfis in a bechar. Because on the one hand, bechar is kodesh mirechan imo, but on the other hand, there's a mitzvah to be magdish a bechar bat fasas per. So he went ahead and he was magdish the bechar, but on the other hand, the bechar already had a kedusha mirechem. How do we classify bechar as a dovra nodra, dovra asif? He says behemazu ke behemazu, which is a bechar. Very profound sugi. And Tosfos points out that ki yidar neder means that the neder has to be with hatfasa on another neder, on something that was already nadur, and that's in the chefetz. So the dovra nadur, which we'll call item B, was generated, the isur was generated by a neder, that's called neder in the Torah's language, or in the Chazal's language, it's called the dovra ha-nadur, and now he's matfis object A, and he says, let object A be like object B, and that's called that fossa. So in other words, Tosfos feels compelled to put into the parsha itself this definition of neder as a chefetz di sura, as ka'osar chefetz al nafshei. And why is it ka'osar chefetz al nafshei? Because ki yidar neder. Rabbo say, what's the obvious objection to? Exactly. The Torah says, Yishava Shvua. If you're already darshaning the extra word, you might as well darshan the extra word Shvua and say that also requires Hatfasa. And nobody says that Shvua requires Hatfasa. So I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just baffled by this Tosfos. Oh. Now we're going to fast forward to the Ran. This Ran is in Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Ran says that the most important commentary on the Dorim is the Ran. I mean, the Ran is to the Dorim like Rashi is to Shah. Says the Ran, V'afal pi shani Dorim hem iser chefta mikol makom yesh bahem gam iser gavra. Now again, this is a very perplexing Ran, and it can be understood on two different levels. If the Ran is just trying to explain to me as if he were talking to a child, that there's no such thing as an Iser Hefter without an Iser Gavra, Nicha, then I understand the rhyme very well. You can't tell me that this table is Osir to itself. A table is an inanimate object. There are no Isurim that are addressed to a table. So why are you calling it an Iser Hefter? The answer is it's an Iser Hefter, but it's also an Iser Gavra. He says, "Mikevod shenesar achefetz olav, harei hu muzar olav beisur shelo yachel dvar." Now there are 2 points here I want to make in the Ran. Point number one is that the Ran is definitely telling me that there's an isur gavra here. He's not just telling me a technicality that you can't talk about an isur chefetz in the air. You know, you have to talk about the Isa Hefza generating an Isa on the Gavra. That's certainly the first point you want to make in the Ran. Harehu Muzar Olav. But number two, the Ran quotes a Pasuk. And that's our Pasuk. Lo Yachel Dvaro. And I think that the Ran is telling us that Lo Yachel Dvaro is an Isa Gavra. So this is the oddest structure in the world. The Ran is saying that on the one hand, when you talk about the mechanics of a neder, the mechanics of the neder is such that it starts by generating a chefza di surah. But if you're talking about the Torah itself, and the prohibitions that are imposed on a person as a result of the neder, how do you define that prohibition? It's an isa gavra. I'm telling you, this is mind-boggling, Rabosa. It almost undermines the whole thing. You know, I was so excited about this sugya because I'm a shtickel, as Sam called it, what did you call it, Sam? A brisker or something or other. Right? So I got very excited, you know, when I saw this Gemara and I said, wow, you know, Reb Chaim didn't start in a vacuum. You know, it's a sugya. You know, it's a neder and a shvua. But now I get very perplexed because the Ran is saying, yeah, it's very nice. The way that the neder emerges, the mechanics of the neder is chefta. But you talk about the nature of the Isra and how to qualify it, how to classify it, it's an Isra Gavra.
There's an interim step that may make sense, which is if you asur chevetz on someone else. In which case it doesn't graduate.
So who violates Bal Yachel in this case? No, I don't think that's so. I think that if you own the chefetz, if I own this table, I can ask it on you, and now the neder is chal on you. And if you violate the neder, you violate by yachel dvaro, even though I took the neder.
Is that a certain?
I'm pretty sure. We'll check that out.
It's not his word.
Yeah, Elmer, how are you?
Please call me in the shir in the
court. Eliezer.
Eliezer,
and your name is Menachem.
Yeah.
Eliezer. Okay, great. It's just in the email. For some reason, the email used the secular name.
My email remains because fewer Elmos in Israel than Eliezers.
I see. That you don't want to confuse it with other people. That's a good spot.
Or the Brisker Senate, I don't know.
Okay.
No, but this is one of the well-known inventions of the Brisker method to make that fine distinction between Gavra and Chavra. Right?
So my contention is, Eliezer, is that what Reb Chaim did was he saw one sugin shas, which is one line in the Shas Bavli, I don't know what percentage of Shas Bavli that is, and he made it into a science. It's the second line.
The second one?
Yeah.
Mesatas and Zori.
Correct. Dorm Daf Beis Amid Beis.
In other words, the Brisker contribution to our understanding Gemara is that he took this one line and derived this...
A system. He made it into a system. And what he's going to do, and again, it's going to take me a few weeks to try to convince you of this, but my contention is that what Reb Chaim did with this line is he pointed his finger at you and me and everyone and said to them, you are obligated and responsible to ask this question every time you learn a sugyan shas. I don't care if it's a sugya about mitzvah sukha. I don't care if it's a sugya about the psul yotze. Whatever it's going to be, You chametz bePesach. Go and ask yourself: is the Iser in the Chefta or in the Gafra? The mitzvah we're going to talk in Mitzvah tomorrow. But we need about Tashbisu. What is the Torah telling me in Tashbisu? Reb Chaim is going to make a science out of it. He took it not as a, you know, like this is a shot in the dark, but he said this is a demand and a system that's rigorous, and you got to apply it wherever you go. We're going to apply it in every section of Shulchan Aruch and in every one of the six Sidrei Mishnayos and so forth and so on.
Yeah. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I don't know where the bottom exactly is, but you know the expression that you have enlightened what the Brisker method is according to your definition.
Right.
Okay.
Now, then the question is if I can convince you that I'm right. That's a different question.
I don't want to take away from the time that you have with the lovely group that you've assembled here to teach them about the Brisker method. But I was wondering whether, because I won't be able to come to have my grandson bring me here, and I'm not mobile, and so I would like, if possible, when you get through, maybe you don't have the list yourself yet, what are the additional distinctions of the Brisker method besides this well-known
distinction? Oh, so that's already far down the line. So let me explain to you my system. What I want to do is the following. I want to take this what I call structure of, do we start with the object and with the person, start with the person and with the object. I want to take that and squeeze it for whatever it's worth. Why? Because I'm training myself, and hopefully, in other words, I'll tell you what it is, and I say this with a great deal of emotion. We tend to learn a block Gemara almost like rote. And my contention is, and I've been saying this for many decades, that if we train ourselves and haka rein and cup, that these are the questions that we have to ask constantly, line by line. We had a whole discussion, you weren't here, Eliezer, about maisa and totsas on maisa, that the action and the result of the action, and where is the halacha? And we have, I think, possibly as many as 20 different categories like this, one of which we want to study in the next few weeks, or Sibo Besove. We spoke about the rugged shover has his own breakthroughs. We mentioned Rav Amiel. Now we're focusing heavily on Rav Chaim and the Talmidim of Rav Chaim, because we want to get this down straight. By the way, you're also invited to join us for Mincha, which is at 1:15, if you so desire, depending upon Menachem if he has the time. So that's one of the nice things about our Sunday schedule, is that right?
That's an additional dividend.
Additional dividend. That you get Mamash Yichapray Mincha, and especially in the winter time, it's good to daven an early Mincha, and you know, you're up to daven, so to speak.
Now, according to the Ran.
Yeah, let me go over the Ran one more time, Herb, so I know my head will be wrapped around what you say.
Afal pishan
edorim hem iser chefta, mikol makom yesh bem gam iser gavra. Now, at this point, it sounds like the iser gavra is a nachschlepper, you know, it's a secondary element. But then look at the next line in the Ran. The Ran quotes the pasuk, bal yachel dvaro, right? Kechol asher yase, yeah. He says, mikevet shenesa achefetz olav. See, the mechanics is that you ask the chefetz. That's it. That's stage number one. That's only second there. Then he says we get to the main point. Harei hu muzar olav b'isar bal yachal dvaro. V'lav zeh, you know, he can't be even more outspoken. V'lav zeh isar gavra k'chol losa seshem haTorah.
Does the isar gavra come because it's not possible if you just have an isar chavitz? If you have a piece of bread,
right,
it's got to be usher to someone.
Right.
If it's not usher to someone, there is no inyan.
I agree with you 1,000%.
Is that the logic?
But I think the Ran is going a major step beyond that.
No, he's not just saying,
well, the chavitz can't talk to itself.
I'm not there yet. But if that is the logic, then it should be reversed. So if you start with an Isser Gavra, what's the sense of having an Isser Gavra if there's no chavitz to be us?
Right. Well,
using the same logic, then.
Yeah, that Daniel is shaking his head, so go ahead.
No, the Torah Daka Adud Le'yachal Dvorah, to emphasize it this way around.
I want to say something else. I want to say, Daniel, that you could have a Shavua that has nothing to do with the Chafetz at all. Right? Konam, oh, okay, I don't want to use the word Konam because that's already neder, but Shavua Shalom Ishan. I won't go to sleep.
So
there's no Chafetz.
Sure there is. If Tila can be a Chafetz, then Ishan can be a Chafetz. If you're using that logic. If you're using it in metaphysics, as my good friend Sam said, then
you can't
do it.
Okay. But Rabosai, I'm just saying the following. If this fits in with what you're saying, Herb, then we're on the same screen. If not, we have a problem. I'm saying that all Taryag mitzvahs have one thing in common. And what's that? They're all on the Gavra. They're all either Mitzvahs HaGavra or they're all Isuri Gavra. And Fartik and Esek. From the Ran's perspective, to take the Isurim of the Torah and create two different categories and say that some belong to Yisur Gavra and some belong to Yisur Chefta would be in a certain sense a misnomer. Again, there is some truth to it on the mechanical level, because it could be that you want to call it Yisur Chefta so far as the fact that you started generating the Yisur from the Chefta. You know, the real toothache is in the tooth, it's in the Chefta. But at the end of the day, all Taryag mitzvahs address the Gavra. And when you talk about violating a neder, that's an Isur Gavra. He says it beferish. Again, you could stretch his words this way and that way. He says, Lav zehu Isur Gavra, kichol losa seshabator. And I think he's, I'm not sure if other Rishonim are accepting, but if you accept him, he's adding a whole new element into the equation. He's saying that, we get so dramatic and so excited about an Isur Chefta. Wait a minute, calm down. Don't get so carried away. The Lav itself and the Isur itself is an Isur Gavra. Yep. Now Herb is saying that's only technical, because you can't create an Isur on the Chefta, because the Chefta, as we said, doesn't enjoin itself from anything. It's an inanimate object. The Torah is addressed to human beings, but I think he's pointing out something that has to be crystal clear. That if you're talking about the Lav itself, don't tell me that you can classify the Lav as an Isur Cheft. There's no such thing. A Lav is an Isur Gav. Rabosai, in the few minutes that I have remaining, I would like to prove to Sam, at least, and maybe to myself, that this distinction between Chefta and Gavra is halachic. It's purely legal. How do I prove this? If you'll join me for a little bit of a trip into Masechta Nedarim. Number one, the Mishnah says in Nedarim, Ha'omer lechavero konem pi miladaber imach, or yodai mi osei imach, raglai mehaleches imach asur. And this, l'chora, the Gemara points out, is antithetical to everything we know about a neder. How can you say that through this konam, through this neder, you prohibited speech, or you prohibited walking, and so forth and so on? Those are actions, those are an Isur Gavra. V'minu chomer shvuas b'nedarim, u'minedarim mishvuas. And now this, I think, is critical. This sugya is going to open it up for us. What is the difference between a neder and a shvuah? And the Braisa quoted in the Gemara says that it goes in both directions. A shvuah has a chumrah vis-a-vis nedarim, and a neder has a chumrah vis-a-vis shvuah. Chomer b'nedarim, he picks up the last one. What's the chumrah of nedarim? Shaha nedarim chalim ala mitzvah kibershus masha'en kein b'shvuahs. This is the halachic implication of calling, of defining neder as an Isur Chefta. As a result of the neder, you are absolutely out of a mitzvah. You are invalid. Mashen kein shvuah. Shvuah does never have the power to invalidate a mitzvah. Okay, we'll see what this means. Now we go to the chumrah of shvuah. Shvuos chalos al dover sheyesh bo mamish v'she'ein bo mamish ma she'ein kein b'nedarim. Om Rav Yehuda bi omer ye aser pi l'diburai yadai l'maseim raglai l'hilucham. So what is the problem here? The Mishnah says that I can take a neder and prohibit speech. Let's just take that example. So the Gemara says that's not true. Because that's the chur of a shvua vis-a-vis a neder. A shvua is chal on a davar shein bo mamish. What's another word for a davar shein bo mamish? What do you say? Rabosai, come on, help me out over here today. I'm all... davar shein bo mamish means a pa'ula, an action. A shvua is chal on an action. But it's not necessarily, doesn't necessarily require an object. On the other hand, a neder cannot be chal on an object, on an action. It can only be chal on what? On an object. So how do you justify this Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis? The Gemara answers on Rabbi Yehuda. He took a neder on the object. But what was the object in this case? The members of his body, right? He said, Yeosef Pila Dibur. It wasn't that he asked Dibur. If he asked Dibur, that could only be valid on the one, Rabbi Osai, Shmua. But rather, he asked his Peh Lidibur. So his Peh is now enjoined from Dibur. His Peh becomes a Cheftzidi Surah. And he says, Dekanami, that's exactly what the Mishnah means when it says, Pi Miladaber Imach. But Rabbi Osai, we now begin to see two major nafkaminas between Nedarim and Shvua. A neder can be mavatal a mitzvah. We're going to understand that in just a minute. A Shvua cannot be mavatal, cannot undermine a mitzvah. Number two, a Shvua could be chal on a davar shein bo mamish. A neder needs a davar shein bo mamish. So if he took a neder on a davar shein bo mamish, the neder is not chal. It's totally invalid. If he took a Shvua on a mitzvah, it's not valid. It's completely invalid. Yes. So Rabbi Osai, wait a second, just give me 1 second, Elias, because I'm getting to the punchline and I apologize to you profusely. But now we get to the Mishnah on Daf Tes Zayin. The Mishnah now spells it out. Zechomer b'shvus mi nedarim. Vechomer b'nedarim b'shvus keitzah. The Mishnah says, what are you telling me that a neder is more chomer than a shvu? Because a neder could block you from doing a mitzvah. Keitzah, how is it so? Omar konom sukkah shani oseh. Lulav shani notel. Tfilin shani meniach. Binidarim asur bishvus mutar she'ein nishboim laver ala mitzvus. And the Rambam is going to explain why is it if he takes a shvua that he won't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs and take a lulav or wear tefillin, why is that shvua batel umavutal? Says the Rambam, because hanishba oser atzmo al hadavar, and he cannot asur himself on a mitzvah. Why? Because hu atzmo kvar mushba vi omed mearsina vi ein shvua. There's no power in a shvua to undermine what? Another shvua. Again, I'm not going into the metaphysics of it. You know, what does it mean I took a shvua at Har Sinai? I don't remember taking such a shvua, but okay. I took a shvua at Har Sinai. As I state, mushba miyomi mi Har Sinai. Now I want to take a shvua that I won't sit in the sukkah. That shvua is invalid. Again, he may be punished for taking a shvua sheker if he mentioned Shem Hashem, another major machlokus in the Rishonim, where every shvua requires enunciating the name of Hashem.
He can't see a shvua that he won't sit in this sukkah.
No.
That doesn't mean he won't sit in any other sukkah.
He took a shvua that he won't sit in any sukkah, that yeshiva b'sukkah is asur b'shvua. Yeah. And if he took a shvua and that shvua contravenes the law of mushba v'yomi mar Sinai, is mutter. What does it mean, mutter? There's no shvua.
Ain't
shvua chal shvua. Oh, if he took it, so let him sit in a different sukkah. Correct. He's not mushba miyomi to sit in this sukkah.
No, but what is the gederin? Since this sukkah is a kosher sukkah, he can't even answer this one.
Well, there are such things. Again, Reb Chaim is going to insist that in some cases, not in the case of sukkah, that the chefta obligates you to do something vis-a-vis that specific chefta. But that's not the case of sukkah. The sukkah is a chovas gavra, it's not a chovas chefta, and therefore it requires you to sit in a sukkah, not in the sukkah or this sukkah. And therefore, if he takes a shvur that he won't sit in any sukkah, the shvur is batel. But if he takes a shvur that he won't sit in this sukkah, that shvur would be valid because he could be kind of mitzvah mushba v'yom v'asin in a different sukkah. Yeah. But the fascinating thing is imagine you're on the moon and there's only one sukkah on the moon. Just try to be imaginative. You know, obviously you'll have 50 kashas on what I'm saying. But let's say there's only one pair of tefillin in the world. There's one lulav in the world. And if you take a neder, that lulav zeh olai kekonam be'isur neder, forget about the mitzvah of lulav. Forget about the mitzvah of tefillin. You're out. Why, says the Rambam? Because a neder is chal on what? On the cheftza. A shvua is chal on the gavra. And with regard to the gavra is commanded by mushpa, by virtue of mushpa v'yomei me'ar Sinai, with a tokef of a shvua that he has to sit in the sukkah. If he takes a shvua that he won't sit in the sukkah, the shvua is batul mevuto. But if he takes a neder, the neder is chal to be mevatul the mitzvah. So Rabosai comes out now. If I ask you the following question, Alan, which is more chomer, a shvua or neder?
The last line of the Rambam is very interesting.
Neder. Okay, we'll get to that.
Neder.
No, both. A shvua is more chomer than a neder because a shvua is chal on a davar shein bo mamish, meaning there's an isur gavra on a pu'ula. In the case of a neder, if you took a neder on a pu'ula, it would not be valid unless you said pila dibur. And on the other hand, a neder is more chomer than a shvua because despite the limitation that a neder is not chal on a davar shein bo mamish, a neder is chal to be mevatel a mitzvah. And why? Because it's in the cheftza.
You have to throw in also the shvua can be chal not regarding a mitzvah to do something.
Say it again, Sam. I didn't follow.
The shvua can also compel you to do something which has nothing to do with the surim.
Ah. Okay, we'll get to that too, I guess. I didn't prepare that for today, but Sam is making a good point. Yeah. That a shvua, since it's chal on a davar shein bo mamish, therefore it's chal on a kum va'aseh, where a neder is only chal on a shei v'al taseh. Oh, we'll have to see about that. Because there's something called Nidrei Hegdish, Nidrei Mitzvah. Okay, we have... That's a different parasha. So what was the last line in the Rambam? The Rambam says, V'ya'osa dover meneder ha'dover hushenesar, V'ya'osa dover eno mushba mi'ar Sinai. So again, Rabosai, I'm just pointing out, and I'm trying to convince myself, that the distinction between a neder and a shvua is actually halachically very, very relevant. Meaning, when we talk about a neder and a shvua, and a neder is an isa chefta, and a shvua is an isa gavra, this is not just words in the air. These have definite nafkimim.
Can the Rambam agree with the Rambam here, given that he holds an element of a gavra aspect in every
let me think about that. No, since you're saying according to the Ram that what that the law of Yaakov follows and Yisuka. I don't think you're right, but let me think about it for a second. If it's what, an Issa Gavra, so then what happens if I take, we're saying, like, don't
you
say more mamish?
No,
I don't think
of this Ilo Yachal Dvar Gavra Elam. Probably not, because it's still only relative to one object. It's not relative to all.
Right.
And Mushmah Be'omer is the whole object.
Yes. Yeah, that's interesting. So, just to clarify Yechiel's point, in theory, if you took a neder on all the heftas in the world that would facilitate that mitzvah, could we apply the Ran's logic that you're mushba v'yomed in this case? But yeah, it would have to be on the very last neder. Just in my scenario. But let's say he took a neder on every single sukkah in the world, and every single sukkah in the world is a chefta di sura kikona. Is then, how do we have a right to say mushba v'ome mer Sinai because of the Issa Gavra? One second. The Torah saying, what's he saying? L'yachol tomorrow. L'yachol tomorrow. See, it depends whether or not. If he says every sukkah is also, is he asking every sukkah or is he asking all the sukkahs? You know, this depends on the rugged shamus kind of chakir. You know what I'm saying? But let's say he asks every sukkah as an individual entity, so there's no mushva v'yomed on any particular entity. So on anytime he wants to enter into a sukkah, he is enjoined by Bal Yachal Dvar vis-a-vis that sukkah.
Right.
Bal Yachal Dvar is an Issa Gavra, but it doesn't matter. The Chefta was already Nesar through Nidar. And once the Chefta became a Chefta di Surah through the Neder, then the Mela lo Yachal Dvara if he sits in that Sukkah. But if on the other hand, if I would say that if a person takes a Neder on all the Sukkahs in the world, then the Neder is Kolel, Parkava, Mizugit, you know, all the Sukkahs in one entity, then Lechora, according to the Ran, that's Yechiel's point. I don't know why it's wrong yet, but it sounds right, but I think it's wrong. But then we should apply the principle of Mushba V'Ome Me'ar Sinai. Why? Because how could the Neder contravene the law of the Torah. Well, Chori's right. I don't know. It doesn't sound right, but, you know, intuitive.
No, if that's what he is against every sukkah in the world. But what if it's every sukkah except one?
Right, right. Then it's not Mushpav Yom Varsina. I just wanted to finish up with this Ran for today, and then we'll prepare for Mincha Mirtz Hashem. The Ran is on page 2, if you happen to have the handout. And he says the following: Haneder came into Iser Chefta Chal al Ashvu. Okay, so that we saw She'ena Ella Iser Gavra. Now how to put all these Rans together, you know, is going to be a fascinating question. So he says, Bein Levatlo, Kegon Shenishba Lechol Kikar Zeh, V'acharkach Omar Konem Olai Kikar Zeh. So this is fascinating. Rabosai, if we apply all the principles and the distinctions that we made between Shvua and Neder, the question becomes, can a Neder be Chal against the Shvua? Meaning, if there's a head-on collision between a shvuah that he took and a neder, right? So on the one hand, he took a shvuah lechol kikar zeh, and then he said with a neder konem alai kikar zeh. Now here, Yechiel, your logic might come to the fore here, because now that he took the shvuah on this particular kikar, he's mushba v'yomeg vis-a-vis this kikar, and yet the Ran wants to say that this neder is chal in this case. Why? Because the neder takes over the kikar. You know, the kikar, the, you know, in modern Hebrew we'd say like this: hakikari pnuya. Why is it pnuya? Because he only took a shvuah. The shvuah is not chal on the kikar, even though the shvuah is chal vis-a-vis the kikar, but the status of the kikar is not changed as a result of the shvuah. So now, even though he took a shvuah lechol kikar zeh, the kikar itself is not a chefta d'isura. If that be the case, now neder jumps in and transforms the kikar into a chefta d'isura in such a way that now the shvuah can no longer be chal. Shaneder chal, and in this case the neder will be valid, kishem, just like we said, shachal al mitzvah. But the interesting chap here, and you can miss it, is that in this case, there's it's not like you have another option over here. You know, the shvua is now being undermined, what I call a head-on collision, by virtue of the neder.
And you have this in the rest of the Yachal.
If he went ahead and he ate the kikar?
No, he didn't, because the shvua was to eat it.
Oh, you want to know, did he violate, you're talking about what?
He's not lechol, and then he's coming on my kikar zeh, so now he can't eat it.
Right, so he violates the shvua.
Okay,
so I don't know about that. I mean, it could be that the shvua is only relevant if he has the possibility of being mekayim the shvua.
Well, so you can ask him about any shvua. So when he's making shvua to do something,
right,
you don't do it. It's b'shei b'altaisa. Are you over?
Right. No, you're violating the shvua, but only if you have the possibility, right? You, like, for example, and don't take me literally, but you need asra, right? So I have to be master you that if you don't eat the kikar in the next 5 minutes, then you can get malchus for violating your shvua to eat the kikar. But if you don't have the possibility of eating the kikar, because the halacha says that, you know, I can take a shvua on a dover a mutter to say I'll eat this kikar, but I can't take a shvua on a dover also.
Well, but lo ban bi'echa. No, the second you made the shvua, I make a shvua to eat this kikar tomorrow, and then I said with a konah.
All right, that's the Ran's point. That since the shvua is never chal on this kikar, you know, the kikar is always free of any sort of isur, but that allows the kikar to now become the subject or the object of a neder. Shaneder chal kishem shechal a mitzvah ubei lekiyum. Now let's see how he gets a case of kiyum. Kagon shenishba shelo lechol kikar zeh. So he takes a shvua that he won't eat a particular kikar. V'acharkach omar konem alai kikar zeh. So this might be your question, whether there's a neder v'kumva seh. Just 1 second. Sha'afal picha ein isur chalal isur mikomakom hari nosaf olav isur. Oh, I understand. This is beautiful. Can you add another isur on a particular kikar once the first isur was already chal? Normally, we would activate which principle, Rabosai?
Yeah.
And Isur Chalal Isur, you can't impose, superimpose the second Isur on the first Isur. But in this case, says the Rad, because of the nature of the difference between a Ned and a Shvuah, you can have a double whammy Isur on the same Kikar. Why? The first Shvuah is Chal Vizvi the Gavra, and the second Neder is Chal Vizvi the Chefta. The Chefta itself was never a Chefta the Isur, and therefore the Neder Kechal. If he eats this Kikar, he'll be in violation of both the Shvuah and the Neder.
So you're saying Isur Kolel?
I don't know if it's an Issa Kolel. I don't know enough about Issa Kolel, but I think Issa Kolel is much more complicated. Now, what happens if he does it in the reverse? That will pick up in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Avol Ein Shvuah Chal Al Ned. Now, Rabose, did you receive a copy of the Avnei Nezer?
Yes.
You have that? Okay, so everybody has the Avnei Nezer. If you don't have the Avnei Nezer, please let me know, because this Avnei Nezer is very exciting to me, because I think he's going to shed a light on an essay in a sefer called Dovev Meisharim, which I'm very fond of. Yeah, that's my father's sefer. And my father has a whole piece in his sefer about whether you can make Kiddush if you're a choleh on Yom HaKippur. And it touches on whether Yom HaKippurim is an Issa Gavra or an Issa Chefta, and that's what the Avnei Nezer is about. So again, I'm not promising you that tomorrow we'll do the Avnei Nezer, but it's an option. Now, Rabotai, before we finish, I just want to know, is there anyone here in this room who's interested in getting together on Thursday at 2 p.m.? Because I left that hanging in the air until I know if there's a quorum. So far we have a quorum for today and tomorrow. Okay, so we'll leave Thursday out, you know, right now. And if the votes change, you know, if you guys can recruit another two people, then we can reach our quorum.
What is the title of the Avnei Nezer's answering? What is the title? With someone wanted to drink vinegar? What on your kid?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to go through it well. So believe me, we'll do it tomorrow. He doesn't spell out the question. Like in most tshuvas, you don't get the question, you only get the answer, and then you have to figure it out. Okay, Rabbi. So in about 4 minutes we have mincha, and again I'm